Of all the things I've experienced in this life, the most challenging, the most unsettling, the most disheartening, and at the same time, the most rewarding for me is relationships. What's true for me is probably very true for you as well. And that has not been lost on the Apostle Paul as he writes this letter to the church in Ephesus and the surrounding area. Relationships. It's what gives us thrills. It's what gives us fulfillment and often gives us purpose as we consider those around us. Relationship is what Jesus Christ is all about. It's why he came to earth, was because of relationships. We'll get into that in just a little bit. So as we pick up these final two sermons in Ephesians, you might remember the last time we met together, we were talking about marriage. We were talking about mutual submission, as scary as that word is. And Paul continues his talk today on relationships. And he goes beyond that. He's going to talk about families in general. He's going to talk about the workplace and those relationships around us. So how many of you, after my talk on Paul's words on marriage, feel you totally understand marriage? Totally comfortable with every facet? Yeah, you're kind of like me. How many of you feel confident that you know how to act as a child, you know how to act as a parent, you know how to be a boss, and you know how to be an employee? You have all that down. Me too. There's a lot to learn. And for some of us, it's like the endless frontier. It's a challenge that never goes away. I have taken classes. I have listened to speakers. I have read books. I have even written papers on relationship. And one thing I've come to know is that relationships are not about collecting information. Not at all. There's so much more to relationships than that. The topic of relationships really comes down to who we are, why we're here. And that comes to understanding that God created us. God created us with a purpose. God created us because of relationship. And that goes a long way to understanding who we are and why we're here. Knowing deeply how much God loves us, what he's done for us, speaks into our lives and gives us worth and value. It actually sustains our self-image in a very consistent way. Knowing our Father in heaven, knowing him intimately, walking with him, we start to understand his heart. In Genesis 1:26, we read, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image, to be like ourselves." And you notice those two words I have underlined up there, are ourselves. God in his very essence is community. His very essence is about relationship. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit speaks of a relationship right in the Godhead itself, in the Trinity. If anyone can understand what it means to be in relationship, it would be God himself. That passage goes on to say in Genesis 1:27, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." It's interesting, as I looked at that, actually just recently, as I was looking at the notes getting ready for this morning, I thought sometimes we think of God as just male. But you see, God created male and female, he created them, just like him. So we are made in God's image. We are created for relationship and community. You could say it's in our DNA. It's right in the fabric of who we are. So why are we constantly challenged? Why are we endlessly struggling and at the same time celebrating relationships around us? You ever notice how much your heart aches after a breakup? Or after a breakdown of a relationship, you wonder, why does it hurt so badly? It's almost like when relationships break, It's at times hard to move on. But whether the world recognizes it or not, these are really God-centered issues. This is foundational stuff to understanding God and thereby relationships. So, Paul helps us understand today about relations as he talks about the roles. As he talks about our roles in life, and as I mentioned before, he has spent time talking, the last time we talked about Ephesians, about the role of marriage and the importance of marriage and how important that relationship with society is. And now he's going to expand that. He's going to talk to parents. He's going to talk to kids, friends, and what it means to have the different roles. It's important for us to know who God is so we have the framework to know how to think about ourselves, how to think about our roles. Some of the most valuable ways I've learned is by personal experience. My own experiences have led me to trust our Father in heaven a lot. And understanding God helps me relate to how he sees relationship, his way. I've discovered in my quiet times great examples in Scripture, everybody from Abraham to Noah to Moses to Joseph to King David, and all through the New Testament, those examples. Great examples of what it means to have relationships and interact with other people. I've studied books, as I mentioned before. Then there are some specific books in Scripture. I think of the wisdom books. Psalms and Proverbs are two of the main ones, but there's more that speak specifically to how we interface with people, how we communicate and care about other people. But probably the strongest thing that has taught me, the biggest example, has been those relationships around me. People who have walked alongside me, people who have affected me, from my parents to friends. And I can tell you, there's nothing more wonderful than having people around you who speak into your life, who try to help you, who coach you, who show you what living for Jesus Christ is all about by their example. 4 decades ago, quite a long time ago, my life was blown apart. I found myself single with 2 very young kids. My son was 5, my daughter was 18 months old. I was not ready for that. It was a bit overwhelming, to say the least. I would have been up a creek without a paddle if it had not been for those loving relationships around me, my family, close friends that leaned into me and helped me out. Relationships are so valuable. Just a little time out from what I'm talking about. One of the things I learned in that, though, there are some advantages, I would say. Not a lot, but there are some advantages. When I was single, it was different than when I was married. When I was married, kids would divide and conquer. You ever notice that? Kids do that automatically. They know how to pull mom against dad. And so when we talked about marriage the last time in Ephesians, we talked about how important it is to be on the same page, to be together, to work at that relationship. Well, I found out when you're single, there's no divide and conquer for the kids because it's just you. It's just you. That part of life gets simpler, which is a little bit rare. In our passage today, we now go directly to kids. And so as Paul, he is going to talk directly to the children. He's not going to talk to the parents about the kids. He's going to talk to the children. So I want you, as we get ready to read these next verses, to listen as a child. Now, most of this is addressing people who are living under the house of their parents, under the roof, and are accountable to them. But I'm sure, as anybody, many of us still have parents. I'm sure there's something for all of us to hear. So let's read Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents, because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on earth. You might remember an earlier sermon, actually many, many months ago. How many of you remember when we talked about the Ten Commandments? Do you remember that? It was like the first summer I was here. 10 weeks on the Ten Commandments. And you might remember in that talk, the first four Ten Commandments are about our relationship with God. It's about how we interface with the Lord in heaven. The last six are about how we relate to each other. In the first of those, commandment number five says, children, honor your parents. It's actually the first one. Not only is it the first one dealing with our relationship, telling us to honor our parents, but it's the first commandment that gives us a promise. If you do this, this will happen. And you can see there, it will go well with you. You will have a long life. So it's a fairly special commandment, but it was interesting to me, of all the relationships we have, the first one, it says, children, obey your parents. Give them the respect they deserve. So we talked a little bit about, as I thought of all the different, how involved this is. Children, it's fairly simple to obey your parents, but as we get older, it gets to be a little bit tougher, understanding that role. And just the other day, I was talking to my dad on the phone. He doesn't use FaceTime quite as well as my mom did, so I was on the phone with him. And we were talking about something, and he stopped for a minute, and he's quiet, and he goes, wow, it's like, you guys are like my parents now, and it's like I'm a kid. That's how life goes sometimes. That's what it feels like. And to be honest with you, it felt that way to me at that moment. And I appreciated the fact he recognized that. Our roles are changing. Sadly, when we think of growing up and doing what our parents want us to do, we are inclined naturally to push back against authority, to push back on often what we should do. And that often is not God's way. We're just naturally that way. In our fallen, natural way. So Paul now makes a shift to fathers, and yes, it's to dads, but I think if your mom here, or even not, I'm sure you can take in a listen. So I'm going to talk to you fathers, but know there's something for everybody there. Ephesians 6:4 reads, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and the instruction that comes from the Lord. So, Father, there's no dodging here. Paul is talking right to you. We're responsible for our families. It's a sobering thing. We're responsible in how we live because we set the pace. We set the example. It's important for us to be aware of that. How important the influence we have as fathers. I mean, all parents do, moms and dads, but especially fathers, more than we realize. In fathers, it deals first with our tempers. I found that interesting too. Paul talks to us about controlling our anger, our emotions, how we respond to things, not being short, not being angry. We are to dispense truth and justice, but also G-R-A-C-E, grace. Really, for a dad, we want to walk in a balanced perspective of truth and grace. It's important. Of course, if you're like me, I think, yeah, but Jesus got angry, and Jesus did get angry. We have that documented a number of times. In the Old Testament, we have that documented a lot that God got angry. But that kind of anger is a righteous anger, which is possible for us too. We need to think before we speak, before we act. Jesus' anger was righteous. And anger itself isn't bad. Actually, anger can be a very important thing to us. It can motivate us to take action, to take care of things. But what sometimes we do as fathers is we let our emotions take off. And we just let the emotions go. We don't discipline ourselves. We don't stay on top of that emotion, looking to be wise with it. So it's important we look to watch what we say, what we say. And as we deal with our kids, we need to be especially wise and ask God to give us that wisdom that we need to deal with all the different things that come up. I think a great starting point is to walk with God well. Walk with God daily. Have our minds mention that. We talk about praying regularly. It's more than praying. It's letting God's word shape our minds. It's letting his word affect our emotions, including our anger. It's important that we stay committed to that. So Paul then moves on to the roles of jobs, what we do in the employment spectrum. And in this case, he's going to talk about slaves. Now, slavery in that day, in Paul's day, was a normal part of life. It was a normal part of the world. Slavery had nothing to do with race, as our mind tends to go to today. It had everything to do with status, money, and power. Did you know a father could even sell his child into slavery? I guess it's important you have a lot of kids if you're going to be doing things like that. If you couldn't pay your bill, either yourself or somebody had to pay that bill. And either you went into slavery or one of your kids or family members did. Pretty sobering. Not only that, a slave owner could torture their slave back in Paul's day, and the government would stand with that slave owner to enforce the law. A slave had no rights at all. It's like owning a tool that you could just throw away when you were done with. On the other hand, some slaves were loved and cared for. A number of months ago, I talked about the movie Ben-Hur. And that was a case where he became a slave for a famous general who had no son. And he adopted that slave. And Charlton Heston played the part of that Jewish man who all of a sudden had all this power and authority when his father died, his adopted father. Interesting story. But for us, we abhor slavery. We abhor anything that has to do with slavery. But the truth is, slavery even exists in our world today. I've been to parts of the world where it's there. Paul's day was a normal part of life. The economics of the society, the business part of the world, that had been going on for thousands of years. People then would not have been able to imagine society without it. So Paul wanted to help people. You think about him speaking to a church like this, there'd be masters and slaves all together, all created equal in the sight of God. So Paul needed to address both of them with the love of Jesus Christ. That was his prime directive. That was his most important priority. He wanted both of them to hear the truth of Christ. So as we listen to these verses, though, I want you to transition. We're not going to talk about slavery as such. We're going to relate in our world to employees and employers. So let's look at it in some of that context. Ephesians 6, 5 through 8. Slaves are for us employees. Obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. As slaves of Christ, there's a phrase, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Slaves, servants, students, employees, contract workers, treat everyone with deep respect. Be serious. Look to serve them as if you were serving Jesus Christ himself, and have integrity. Do it with a great attitude, and do it even when no one's looking. Do it with all your energy, with an attitude serving, but with an attitude of joy at the same time. Remembering, you will receive a reward for how you live in this life, and that will be dispensed by God in heaven someday. And the Lord is true. He's fair. He's just. The bottom line, whatever you do, as that passage said, do as to Christ. So let's zap over to the masters, the employers, the bosses, the overseers. In verse 9 of chapter 6, masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. Treat those, you bosses, you who oversee, with kindness. Don't be cruel to them. You've been given a position. You've been given the position of honor and authority to look out for people, and you're accountable to God for that. You need to answer as you would, as if you were serving Jesus Christ. God is the best judge. He knows. We are all accountable. All of us are accountable to somebody. I remember realizing as a parent, man, I'm not accountable to my parents anymore. I'm accountable to God directly. And that's how, when we oversee other people, we're accountable to God. And God goes beyond just watching your actions, listening to what you say, because God gets to the heart. He knows your motivations. He knows whether you're selfish or greedy or just looking to control for selfish reasons. And there's no amount of spinning or excuse making that will fill in, because God sees through right that, sees through all of that. But we're not perfect, are we? We all make mistakes. Even though we do our best, we come up short. No husband or wife is ever perfect. No child is without sin. Well, except Jesus Christ when he was a kid. Most parents stumble over themselves as they try to figure out how all of this works, as they work at an unending group of issues that never stops. For years, they're just coming along. Every employee will mess up. Every employee will make mistakes. Great bosses are often great because they have made the same mistakes. They know if they're a smart boss or smart supervisors, they invest that knowledge in helping other people not make that same mistake. To use what they know with wisdom. When I spent some time in China teaching at a large print shop, had like 300-400 employees. And one thing I noticed in that culture, knowledge was like gold. What you knew, you hung on to, and you didn't share it, and you didn't show other people, because that was your value, what you could do. You don't want to help the guy next to you. That was your competition. I think how different God wants the world. Both bosses understanding and showing people how not to make the mistakes, but even in all our relationships, in our family. I've always said in the techie world, as I've talked to especially older people, I can't figure this out. I don't know how to do it. I tell them, hopefully it's comforting to them, you know, it really comes down to teamwork. I don't even know a computer guy that knows it all. It comes down to teamwork and sharing and taking care of each other. So nowhere does sin show up more than our relationships. As we interact with each other, sin shows up more there than any other place. And yet we have an opportunity, as we think about God would have us do, to show others how to walk by looking at the example of Jesus Christ. God knows we wouldn't make it on our own. Our sinful nature that we're born into takes us to a full crash and burn eventually if we don't get right with Him. Thankfully, the sacrifice He gave us on the cross, His blood, covers our sins, covers our mistakes if we ask Him to. So we should treasure those relationships around us, always remembering that none of us are perfect. Don't we know that well? Children need to know that God wants them to honor their father and mother. Fathers, many all parents, Paul instructs us really clearly here, not to be harsh, not to be cruel, but be wise with our kids. To care about where our kids are emotionally and especially spiritually. One of our, on the job, we should be sensitive to everyone around us, to those co-workers around us, but also those we answer to. We should be loyal and faithful and obedient to them. We should take care of our priorities, God first, family next, and our other relations beyond that. If there's a relationship that's troubling for you, ask the Lord to give you wisdom. Look at those wisdom books. Proverbs is wonderful, helping us deal with people. If I can help in some way, obviously I'd love to do that. But ask God to give you the wisdom. And look at the models he's given you. So let's continue to pray for each other, to care for each other. Let's continue to celebrate the most precious relationship of all. The relationship that will tell us where we go for all eternity. That relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Father in heaven, you are our most precious relationship. Thank you for not only creating us, but giving us DNA to be in relationship with you and with others. You comfort us through those relationships around us. You especially comfort us in our relationship with you. Help us to be wise. Help us to be aware. Help us to extend ourselves into the lives of other people as we look to honor them and to serve them. In Jesus Christ, amen.